This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have breaking news involving former Maverick Jalen Brunson as he has signed that deal with the New York Knicks. It's a four-year, $156 million extension. So congratulations to him. Well-earned. I think it's about a $14 million a year raise based on off of what they already gave him to woo him off the Mavs a couple of years back. Nice job, JB. But, I mean, this is the hero that you want right here. This is $113 million guaranteed less than he could get for 1 year. He just wants to, be in New York, keep building there and give them the resources, to hopefully keep everybody around him.
Yeah, I wonder how much.
Very rare type of outlook.
It is. But he's now also playing with, three or four of his Villanova buddies that he won championships with in college. And I wonder if he's looking around like, man, I want to make sure my guys are taken care of too. You know, these are players that he played with for 4 years in college. Now they're actually playing winning basketball. They just added another one in Bridges. So, yeah, this is one where I think a lot of teams are looking at their superstars and thinking, damn, that's awesome. I wish my superstar would do that. But it's few and far between.
I do think it's the players that value the different things other than the most amount of money that are going to get the most satisfaction out of it. You know, if it's never going to be enough, right, then you couldn't make enough to be satisfied by that.
True.
Your career is going to be wrapping up after making $500 million. You're going to be like, dang it, I should have got that extra $100 million. You know, it's the guys that can take $25 or $40 million a year and build like a sustainable financial portfolio out of it that's going to more than take care of them and their family for the rest of their lives, that, you know, are going to have the smoothest ride into retirement. But I don't know if I could do that. I really do not know, especially being a member of an organization like the Knicks or the Cowboys that just do not have a long history of proving that they're going to do with that money what is going to take you over the top. And there's been a lot of organizations that spend tons and tons of cash but just continuously fail. That was the Dodgers for a long time. It's the Orioles in Major League Baseball. I mentioned the Knicks and the Cowboys. And it, on top of that, it's just so difficult. There's 29 other teams. But the friendship thing is interesting. You know, if you could guarantee me that instead of some random cast of characters circulating in and out of here, it's guys that I really like on and off the court, and maybe we can keep them around for a half decade or so, maybe there is real value in that.
I think it's brilliant what he's done. And I can understand, you know, hey, you got to get what you get because you only have so many years to do this.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant because he set himself up for life in New York. Mm. He's made himself, you know, he's
fan fave.
He's endeared himself to the fans.
But it's 22 million less a year.
You know what though? It's one of those things there where he can make that up later in life. He can make it, and maybe he doesn't make up the full 22 million, but all of a sudden, he's a legend in New York City.
That buys you a lot.
It buys you a lot
with that media market like that.
It buys you the opportunity to be the. And again, you're
maybe you get a signature shoe out of it as well that could eat into that a lot.
Yeah, to me, it's he's making a lot of money to begin with, but he's thinking of the bigger picture. If I bring a championship to New York City,
yeah,
and what that means potentially for...
He's a legend.
Yeah.
And he is.
I want to know who you're going to go get. I mean, they got Ananobi last year. They had a talented roster, and they weren't healthy in the playoffs. So maybe he feels like, man, we bring all this back healthy. Maybe we could be better than
I think
Boston.
He has to worry about Tibbs.
Well, it was funny because apparently he accidentally butt-dialed Tibbs while he was hanging out with his buddies. He had a tweet about it. He was like,
no way.
Sorry, guys. I'll see you later. Like, he's about to get canned based on what he said. But I think you're right. Tom Thibodeau, he has a history of his teams flaming out in the postseason. I mean, that goes back to Chicago.
He rides them hard, plays them a lot.
And it happened again with all the injuries that they dealt with in this postseason. Kind of like Parcells. Yes.
I just, man, to me, if you can afford to do it, and, you know, he's a young guy. He's looking at his situation and saying, you know what, I'll have another crack at this. I'll give up this. But, yeah, you could see what Dirk did. And, yeah, it got him a championship and all that. And Dirk's legendary in Dallas now. I think being legend in New York is probably bigger than being a legend in Dallas.
You know, and Tom Brady's obviously the shining example of that. But you have a billion-dollar supermodel wife, a lot of different things in play. It's just, it's rare that you find the player willing to do that. So congrats to the Knicks. But you look at the deal that Jason Tatum just got at $60 million. The NBA salary cap is at $140 million. So you can only afford now to get two top-of-the-market superstars. And then depending on where they are in their career, you're going to have a slot for another 20 to 40 million bucks, depending on what your superstars get. So finding players that are willing to do this and play for a little bit less, I really do believe could be the difference between winning and losing at the highest levels. I mean, you got Brown and Tatum now. You're already at the cap pretty much. You can afford a mid-level exception player and one other guy. Mm. And it's only because of bird rights and the way they've able to stack things. But the Celtics luxury tax bill is going to be, you know, massive. Their payroll is over $200 million.
And they're trying to sell the team.
Did you see what happened with the Suns yesterday?
Mm-mm.
So the Suns signed, who was it, Ogoki to a two-year $16 million deal. That puts them, for the first time in NBA history, they're a $400 million payroll.
My goodness.
Their salaries are at $223 million. Their projected taxes at $198 million. Now, our guy Bobby Marks said that this was a smart move that Phoenix made because it gives them an $8 million trade asset to use during the season.
Oh, my goodness.
Otherwise, they like wouldn't have had anything to use. I mean, they would have been strapped to basically, we've got KD. Like, do you want to trade KD? Do you want to trade Devin Booker? But my goodness, I don't know what Matt Ishbia is doing over there.
The really cool thing about
he's a billionaire, though.
Yeah, he's got the money. And he's using it. $400 million payroll.
That's what Phoenix needed after their history, an owner willing to lose money to try to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, the good news is I think this prevents epic dynasties from being built and being held for a long time. So if you're not one of those, like I don't think it's a coincidence that we've had a new NBA champion several years in a row now. And it's, you know, I think it was Steph Curry who said a couple of weeks back, we've seen the last dynasty in the NBA. I don't know if you're going to be able to build one that stays at the top for any more in a couple, 2-3 years.
We keep talking. I talked about Oklahoma City, but you guys have convinced me that they won't pay.
Yeah, I just don't know that they'll be able to financially keep them guys around.
And those draft picks are going to run out. And they have to find perennial all-stars with those draft picks just to kind of hold the line that you know they're at currently. It's really still only one actual superstar in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander until what we see what Holmgren and their other guys can do. Okay, Cowboys in bottom three of ESPN offseason grades. We did that one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I've filtered back through that somehow. You have your Heisman favorite a topic. Oregon's Dylan Gabriel is now the favorite to win the Heisman. It's atypical for a July change. I don't know what they saw, but the bookmakers moved him ahead of Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers. So Quinn Ewers, a top three guy there in your Heisman. That's pretty cool. But here's the story that Skip
Bayless. Gabriel's third team? This is third team.
Yeah, it is. It's Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, I think UCF.
Central Florida.
OU,
Oklahoma.
Now Oregon.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, he had put up big numbers last year with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Our old buddy or nemesis. I guess, is he now media Mr. Irrelevant? I don't know. But Skip Bayless went viral this morning saying the Cowboys should tank the season, sabotage the offense around Dak, and then take Shedeur Sanders with their high draft pick. Now, that's a lot to say could happen. The Cowboys would never, you know, tank a season, sabotage their quarterback. They're trying to be relevant and make the playoffs. They want to put on a good TV show. But if you could just snap your fingers, I Dream of Genie style, or blink your eyes and make that the reality going into training camp next year, Dak is gone and Shedeur Sanders is your quarterback, what would that do to your very passionate and a Cowboys heart, Wolchuk?
There's something about the unknown future and optimism that is gained by a new franchise quarterback. And I remember going through that with Dak when Dak took over for Romo. And there were some people to this day that hate Dak Prescott because they took Tony Romo's job. For me, I think that I am at the same place as I was then, where Tony in 2014, we thought that was the year. Unfortunately, the Dez catch happened, or not catch as they ruled it. But Tony had the same type of failures in the big games. They went three straight years. You have a chance to win the division. Last game of the season, they lost, right? And they were pretty brutal defeats. Romo was throwing game-ending interceptions. Same thing in the playoffs. Didn't have a ton of success. I think won a total of two playoff games. Same thing we're at now with Dak. So, to me, it also paints to, maybe it's a bigger picture, it doesn't matter who the hell's the quarterback. It's kind of just overall the construction of the organization. But I do think that that would bring in a lot of fans, and I ultimately, yes, would get excited about a new quarterback and the possibility of change, and maybe that guy does have the whatever it factor that you see in Mahomes or these guys that are big-time playoff performers that have been lacking here.
Bayless says that's a championship move, and that's what the team needs. I'm with Zach. I think at this point, I'm convinced that the Cowboys front office plus Dak isn't going to get the job done. And I want to see them try with, you know, different quarterbacks that might be transcendent type players that could push through the mediocrity of the organization. I mean, Burrow took the Bengals, a way worse organization than the Cowboys, to the Super Bowl and beat Patrick Mahomes. I think a player is capable of doing that for the Joneses. And I'm 100% confident Dak's not that guy. You're going to have to build a super team around Dak to win. I think Dak's good enough to win a Super Bowl. But I would just be excited about change, Brian. And maybe we'd end up regretting that not too, you know, long after that that acquisition. But, I mean, Shador's a hell of a talent. And I'd be excited about, you know, seeing what he could do for the Cowboys. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm always interested about the quarterback evaluation. And I wonder, when we get to that point in time, if Shedeur Sanders is going to be the number one quarterback on people's boards. I think it's going to be a very difficult year for him. And I think it's going to be a difficult evaluation for him because of the team around him. Now, he's got a bunch of transfers and portal guys that are this offensive line. We'll see what the, you know, if they can stabilize the, you know, they change coordinators out. You know, they didn't protect him particularly well. And so I just wonder if he's going to have another year where people are going to have to be like, you know, making excuses. And I don't mean an excuses in a bad way, because I think the kid can play. I mean, he can obviously throw the ball. He's super tough. But I just wonder if his team is not going to help him get the best evaluation of him.
It's rare that you get a quarterback taken high that had a bad offensive line. It's just hard to look good.
I think that Dillon Gabriel is better than Bo Nix. And Bo Nix got drafted out of Oregon. And I think Oregon's system will probably make Dillon Gabriel look really good.
That's the guy you'd want to take if the Cowboys do finish bad?
It's a left-handed quarterback. I'm just saying the evaluation. I'm just saying the evaluation of, you know, of one is going to look like it's going to have huge numbers. And I think the other one is going to fight. You know, everybody's going to say, well, this kid does this. And I'm talking about Sanders. But you have to really dig in on these quarterbacks.
You do.
And I just see Dillon Gabriel having more success at Oregon than I do Shedeur Sanders having success at Colorado.
Yeah, I think that Oregon's a team that legitimately year one could win that Big Ten. I mean, they just got Evan Stewart, who was a big-time transfer from played in high school in Frisco, one of the top high school players in the country, transferred from A&M. Dillon Gabriel is surrounded with more talent than Shedeur is as well, which is the
You always look problem. For the sure thing.
Yeah.
You're always going to look, and I think the evaluation of Shedeur is going to be tough because it might very well be another 4 and 7 football team that he's
especially
playing
if
on.
The offensive line's not any better. Yeah. He's running for his life after every play. But it is going to be interesting, you know, the night. What is Prime and how he handles the draft process as well? Because I saw a list of teams Shador would like to play for. Now, I don't know that it's accurate or not. It was Falcons 1, it was Cowboys 2. So Falcons just drafted a quarterback in the top 10. I don't think they're going down that well again. But if Shador wants to be a Dallas Cowboy, do they end up pulling an Eli Manning and forcing their way to America's team?
Could be very interesting, too, because the New York Giants could be have the...
That's also true.
The number one pick. The Giants very well could be in the top 3.
Could you see the Cowboys having a top 5 pick in any way next year? I mean, they're not going to sabotage, but naturally... You know, what's that look like? Is that just a Dak injury? Do you need like Dak, Lamb? You need like 3 or 4 of your really good players to play, bad or get injured, I think, in order to even dream of the possibility. Because there's no way the Cowboys would ever sabotage a season or tank.
No, absolutely not.
What would have to happen is something happens to Dak. Then it turns into Cooper Rush having to play. We've seen Cooper Rush win before, but then now you have no semblance of a running game. And you don't get the development or the learning curve is too steep at left tackle. So then you start to have some issues. And maybe Zach Martin is in his last year and maybe Zach Martin not playing at a high level like he once did. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't figure out the center situation. Maybe they went with Brock Hoffman, lost a bunch of games with Brock Hoffman at center. So, yeah, I think that the lack of depth and some key positions, you know, if they don't figure out anything behind Lamb is another thing too at wide receiver. Yeah, this thing could, you know, we on a best case scenario as a show, we pick 9 and 8. With all these things go against it, yeah, you could very well be a team that's looking at
the top.
I think
like jumping up to 12 wins is more likely than 5 wins though. I mean, that would be just an absolute catastrophe.
Yeah, with a healthy quarterback, they have not had a losing season in 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, it is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. When we come back, it is time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Where are you taking it?
It is National French Friday. We talked about this a little bit with KMC. It's one of the best days of the damn year. What's the best fast food French fry? That's next in the nation.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, buddy, welcome back. Hope you're having a good one. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, just call the Frankels. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump to frankelfirm.com. Here's Zach Woolchuck. Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
Let's do it, baby. Let's get into it. Top 10 best fast food French fries, National French Fry Day. I know Eric is somewhere right now just stuffing his face with French fries. That man will never turn down a fry. I don't care if it's cold. Or he'll just go walk by, boom, take it off somebody's plate. I've seen him do it with my own eyes before.
I've seen you take a piece of pizza off of a table that was the folks had left.
We're almost getting to the 1-year anniversary of that fateful
day.
Was
that a full piece of pizza?
He did.
I think it might have even been more than one piece.
He
of
did.
Pizza.
I think
there
he took
go.
Two.
It's so after the people had left.
Yeah, it's after
him. Yeah, it was leftover pizza.
After he and Jane went Oklahoma drill on the beach.
That might have been as a group, like the most belligerent we've gotten together.
I think
we were all pretty toasty.
Yeah. And Derek Holland had a lot to do with
he
that.
Did.
He was.
He's an instigator.
Big time instigator.
Here. I'm going to have about three or four drinks and buy everybody a dozen each.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was. That's what he does. It was a hell of a time.
He is a grab the bottle kind of guy. We're doing shots.
Oh, really?
Buy the bottle guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a heck of a night. I mean, Jane and Bobby got into it too. It was awesome. It was awesome watching somebody chew Bobby out. There's not much he can say when Hurricane Jane erupts on him.
He kind of sauntered off.
Did he saunter? Oh, did he ever? I mean, I've never seen him speed walk so fast.
Jane's intimidating and sharp and clever
and loud,
witty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you bite off more than you can chew, you're gonna mess around and find out if you're hanging out with Jane.
Yo,
I play my cards close to my vest.
Bob did. Yeah. But I can't wait to get back out there this year, man. Mm. I'll try and take a couple less shots this time, so I'm not taking.
Don't lie to the folk
off a random table.
If you're out there, look us up. We'll be out there.
Shout out. Come party with us at the Rudder Room. All right, let's do it. 877-881-1053. The best fast food French fry. Now this can change. I mean, palates change. We have restaurants that will update their fry. I think Wendy's has done it most recently. They're doing like the natural cut French fry. What were you doing before? I don't know. But I think Wendy's has upped their fry game. It's better than it used to be. They may or may not be getting a jump in this year's top 10 best fast food French fry ranking. But another French fry connoisseur, or maybe lack thereof, because he's an onion ring guy.
Yeah, I don't eat French fries, but I like tater tots and onion rings. But if I did have to go grab a French fry, it'd be Arby's or Wingstop.
Wingstop, I think, is goated.
I like them.
I said that during the crosstalk with KNC. Like, they are. The sugar they're putting on there. And now you can even get different types of the wing rubs on there if you want. If you want to do some lemon pepper seasoning on the fries, you can do that.
Can I circle back, Lucius, and ask you a question?
What up, though?
What about the sweet potato fry?
Oh, I love a sweet potato fry. Absolutely.
Better than the French fry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Because I feel like I'm healthier.
I feel like I'm healthier, yeah.
Okay, but I'm glad you specified, Lucius.
But I dip it in ranch, so I avoid it all out.
Certain balance there, right?
I like to put mine in maple syrup.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. I like that you specified the tater tots and onion rings, because a tater tot is not a French fry.
It's not, no.
Corey Majors is trying to say that a tater tot is a French fry. It's not. It's two completely different things.
It's a bite of a hash brown.
There we go. It is a mini hash brown, homeboy.
And put his ketchup and pepper on it. It's even better.
Yeah, damn right it is. Yeah. And I'm
maybe down hot sauce.
Again,
I feel like they go better with burgers.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
Okay.
They do. I'll go some...
standing on business, bro.
Well done, tater tots.
Did you guys see the fries at Moxie's, how they serve them in that cup?
They look good.
They serve them upright.
See, with the food there was pretty outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
It really was.
Steak bites were good.
Wingstop is winning on the text, hands down. Brahms crinkle cut, hard to beat, from the 817.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man, I do not like a crinkle cut fry. The soft ones? I do not like a soft fry.
You can't go soft. Ugh. No.
You need a lot of crunch and a lot of salt. You go crinkle cut, you go steak fry, there's just way too much mushy potato material. Yes. All you can taste is potato.
Yes.
I want salt.
You don't want too much potato.
You guys,
talk to him.
Have you guys had fries from Five Guys?
Five Guys is a good
fry. I can't afford it.
Okay.
It is damn expensive. I haven't been there in about 3 years.
Do they fool us with the putting too many in the bag? Are they trying to say our fries are half-assed? But we're putting a lot in the bag.
They're putting a lot in the bag because they're overcharging for the small burger they're giving you.
It's a good burger, but it's small. I thought they're throwing a bunch of extra fries in there to kind of fool me that our fries aren't that good. They're just saying, yeah, have a lot of them.
They're pretty good to me. They're soggy.
They are soggy.
Yeah, it's the steam
in the bag.
When you can see the peel on the fries still, I don't like that either.
Ooh, that's too real for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you wouldn't like Wendy's new fries then?
I like the potato peel on there.
Wendy's has that peel on them, too.
It's like the dirt. It's like that's healthy for you, man.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, the Five Guys Cajun fries, you're getting some love. Popeye's fries, underrated from the 469.
Popeye's?
Yeah, Popeye's.
Awesome. I'll tell you, it's
good fry. Gotta eat them fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The tackle box?
They're a little heavy. The oil is a little heavy. And if you let them cool down, they do not.
They're not the same.
If you're ever in Portland, go up to like the 26th floor of this giant building and find the Portland City Grill. And inside there, they serve fries in that vertical cup. But they're the most magnificent garlic fries you'll ever have.
Oh, garlic
Parmesan fries, yeah.
Let's go. 817, the new groovy fries from Sonic are thin and crispy crinkles. They're fantastic. Called groovy fries. 580, so the Taco Bell nacho fries.
Meh. I like the idea.
Boy, you living on the edge, whoever you are, sir. Congratulations, got a trucker stomach.
Man, Burger Street's curly fries.
Man.
I haven't got to a Burger Street in a long time.
In a long time, it's not the same. I say that respectfully. Nah, they used to hit back in the day. Now it's just like, here's a burger.
What's and I feel place? Like it was affordable, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So good.
What's that place, Jake's?
Is yeah, that Jake's.
Jake's? Are there fries that you got? I can't remember. Because I'm thinking of burger places.
I know, I haven't. Well, Chili's got texted, and Chili's does have good fries. I couldn't tell you, man, about Jake's. I'd have to.
I always know they're poppy seed buns.
That's what I was. That's the only thing I remember. I kind of feel like it's a good combination.
I think they use the same.
Lucius is right. The onion ring,
like Keller's and Jake's. I think there's something there. Like there's.
Oh, Keller's.
They have
yes.
a family relationship.
Gosh, yes.
Somebody said this is a big back segment. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Steak and Shake fries are good. Those are very thin. Those are teeny fries. Hop Dotty aioli fries.
See, I've never been to Hop Dotty, and I walk by it all
good.
The time.
You should stop in there. Yeah. You should. Honorable mention on the best fries list is Shake Shack, Zaxby's.
Ooh, Zaxby's.
Whataburger.
Pretty good.
All honorable mentions. Number 10 is Steak and Shake. So you're not alone. Person that texted
those are the
in.
Shoestring fries.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Number 9 is Wendy's Natural Cut Fries, which, Doss, I don't think you're going to like because you're going to be able to see some of that brown potato.
They can make up for it with a good amount of salt, good oil, crispiness.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's so,
not lying.
So hit or miss there when it comes to like what kind of fry you're going to get.
Yeah.
Number 8 is Red Robin and their bottomless fries.
See, I've never had a Red Robin.
Totally
before.
Out.
I've never been.
They're giant. They're like shards of potato.
Okay, that's too thick.
Yeah. Oh, so and that's because you don't like the steak fry.
Yeah, you, I don't want a baked potato inside there.
Yeah, me either.
You know?
I don't either. 7.
It's a great description, bro.
I don't want a baked potato in there.
God, I don't want the baked potato.
Yeah. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're going to tell me the sour cream in there, too.
Chives and butter and all that crap that I hate.
You guys.
Number 7.
Trying to get Stanimer over here.
I'm Stanimer by myself.
I love it, bro.
Number 7 is Jack in the Box seasoned curlies.
Yeah, those are good.
Okay, back in the day, Jack in the Box did a thing called frings. Fries and onion rings. Bring that back.
I'm down to fry. You know what? Burger King tried to do that too.
Fries and onion rings together?
But they're just not as good as Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box, for an old drunk like me, it's, do it.
Six Jack in the Box has done some great things
lately.
They have, man. Yep. These munchie meals are no joke. It's how you get fat again.
There you go, Lucius. You know what it's like.
I know what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know,
they do.
Absolutely.
I came up with something, Jack.
What is it? What is it this time?
My last $10 bill
how
was
about,
all,
a grilled cheese and a hamburger together.
Yeah.
Boom, dude.
Hey,
what?
Do me a favor. Pour that shake on the bonus, Jack.
Oh, man. They should just say in their ads, listen.
I got one. Loaded fries and a spicy chicken sandwich together. Let's go.
Just, listen.
Yeah, grind up those tacos and put them on the burger.
You know you've been smoking weed since you got off work.
Man.
For some reason, you can't fall asleep yet. Get your ass in here.
That $10 bill is just all wadded up, and I just hand it to him. Here you go.
We'll take your money, man. Number 6 is Popeye's Cajun fries.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's a good fry.
But you got to eat them fast.
You're right. Gotta go.
5 is Rally's / Checkers seasoned fries.
I love seasoned fries, bro. I love a good seasoned fry.
Yeah. I'm into that, too.
That's some care.
But I can't tell you, I don't think I've ever been to a Rally's or a Checkers.
I would take you
we
one.
We got parties here, right?
We got it. There's one down the road from us at training camp.
Oh,
I'll
perfect.
Take you to a Rally's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody said Twisted Root. Yeah, that's where I get my sweet potato fries.
Is that the place with the names like Brad Sham?
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
4 is Five Guys Cajun Fries.
See, they lot in a bag. I think they're trying to fool you.
They might be. 3 is Chick-fil-A Waffle Fries.
They're pretty good.
I think it's a vessel.
Pretty good.
Quit.
Yeah,
I know you do. It is a vessel.
It's a vessel.
I run into where they didn't cook them long enough.
That's a big problem.
Or didn't salt them well enough.
See, I used to always do the well done, but now a lot of the Chick-fil-A's, including my own
Is there an alarm on those fryers?
They won't. Yeah, there is.
Okay, but not long enough, right?
No, so it's like an average 2.5 minutes.
Need
if you
about
want to do well done, you keep them in for, you need 3.
Need 3.
I recommend that.
Yeah.
2 is Arby's Curly.
Yeah.
Yes. And number
beef one is, and
cheddar.
Number 1 is the tried and true. It's McDonald's French fries.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, it is hard to argue. Hard to argue. Order an extra one as you're driving along.
Dude, yes.
Fat guy fry.
What do you call that? The car fry?
The extra fry. I don't know. There was some name.
Road fries. Yeah. Lavelle Crawford.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a bowl.
That's a great order. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bully.
Riding fries. That's what you call them. These my riding fries.
He's not wrong, man. Dude is not wrong.
Football's finest coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll take a look at what's been happening in the NFL. But top five storylines from SEC Media Day.
What?
As Brian and LSU get set to welcome the Longhorns and Sooners, what's making news over there at SEC Media Day. That's next year in the nation. Thank you, Lucius. Gentlemen, I have prepared for you the five top storylines to watch at SEC Media Day. I will give you the storyline. Perhaps I'll give you a couple of questions to ponder about it. Number one, the welcome for Texas and OU. At the end of last year now, if you count the Longhorns and Sooners, seven of the top 13 teams that made the final rankings were in the SEC. So it's rare that you get an off week. Can the Sooners and Longhorns handle the gauntlet of these schedules? OU will host Tennessee and Bama and go to Ole Miss, Missouri, and LSU. All of those will be in the preseason top 25. UT is not quite as packed with heavyweights, writes the Morning News, but they still welcome Georgia to Austin. They'll head to A&M to renew its rivalry with the Aggies, and they will also visit Michigan, the defending national champion, so they have a hell of a schedule as well, Brian. What are your expectations for those two programs?
I'll tell you what, though. The SEC, you just never know, but he's like, team like Arkansas started off so well last year. Then all of a sudden, you make a trip to Georgia, then to Alabama, then to LSU, and the next thing you know, they're talking about firing their coach. So I think Texas is probably better equipped to handle with that, even though they had massive losses with their roster, though. It's still one of the best skill groups in the country, and we talked about their quarterback a bunch. I give them Michigan is a team, being the national champion, might be a little bit of like catching them early before they kind of figure some things out. So I like Texas's chances. I think that the fact that Oklahoma has Georgia at home, I think is a big help there. It's never easy to go to Stanford Stadium and have to play that bunch there. So but they make a trip to Baton Rouge to end the SEC schedule. But I think Texas will probably have the better of the records when it's all said and done.
What do you think about this, Wolchuk? Is one of these two teams going to represent this footprint here in the old Southwest Conference well over there, or are they just going to mix in as, you know, other pretty good teams in a great conference?
And I think Texas has a good shot to make some noise this year, more so than Oklahoma does. And I think Oklahoma can be an 8-9 win team. I believe in Jackson Arnold, who's from Denton Guyer here, was a really, really high recruit, so he's going into year two there at Oklahoma. But Texas did a good job at the transfer portal, getting guys like Isaiah Bolden. They lost a lot when it came to weaponry on offense, graduating some receivers and tight ends. They added some speed with an Oregon State receiver who's coming over there as well. I think Jonte Cook from DeSoto is about to become a household name. That dude is an absolute stud. So they're really good in the trenches for Texas. That can carry over to the SEC. Like, their offensive line is something that's been built up. They've got a left tackle that'll be a top 10 pick, and Kelvin Banks Jr. coming up in the upcoming NFL draft. So I think Texas has a chance. But I do think, like, for Oklahoma, who's winning 10 games a year, it seems like, and is always up there to win the conference, they're probably going to have to change a little bit when it comes to expectations. I don't think that's going to continue.
Storyline number two, Mike Elko era beginning in Aggieland. Obviously, had tremendous amount of success at Duke, where it's hard to have success, 16-9 in two seasons there. What's Mike Elko going to do for the Aggies?
Well, I tell you what, there's so many questions about with Jimbo Fisher and that program, and they recruit very, very well. The NIL money is very prevalent there with the program, but they've also found ways, though, to give away games during the year. Mike Elko was a defensive coordinator at Texas A&M. He went to go take the Duke job, so he very much understands the expectations of Aggie football. And it's for Texas A&M, it's going to be about how do you find a way to have some more consistency at quarterback. It seems like that that was just the situation where they were in last year, where they were just every week it seemed like they had a different quarterback playing. The injuries were just such a bad part of what they were dealing with last year. But if they can get the consistency at quarterback, they've got a lot of talented, a lot of skilled players, a lot of really good defensive players. You know, Elko can do some good things there as well.
I guess it's all about the quarterback, right? Can their quarterback stay healthy in Connor Wegman?
And
if he does, and they have not had health at that
position.
They have not,
yeah. It's been a problem.
And if
when's the last time they had a year-to-year answer at quarterback?
Honestly, I think it was Manziel.
Wow.
I don't think that they've had any type of stability since then, quite at that level.
They've had quarterbacks go in there and with the expectations of, you know, being that guy. And then end up transferring him out.
And heck, Kyler Murray was one.
Kyler Murray was that. I mean,
Kyle Allen.
Yeah. The kid now at Georgia Tech. The kid that
was Haynes King. Haynes from King. Longview.
Yeah. I mean, they've always been able to recruit and get quarterbacks to show up. You know, Brad Johnson's kids over there. Mm-hmm. And he played well for a couple games and then got hurt. So I mean it's been a problem for them. If they can get some stability there, as I say, they've got the skill players to be able to handle it.
Okay, speaking of A&M, the UT-A&M rivalry is back on for the final weekend of the season. The Aggies fought to keep the Longhorns out to no avail. How important is it to get this game back, and will it live up to the hype of what it used to be?
I can't wait. I think absolutely. That is going to be a magical, magical day when we get to see Texas and A&M back on the football field together. I think it's amazing, not only for Texas football, but it's one of the best rivalries in the entire country, and we've been robbed and deprived of it. And I think that it's awesome that, there's been a lot of politics as to why this hasn't happened. And Texas fans will blame A&M for it, and vice versa, the other way around. And I'm sure both schools are at fault. But and Kellen Mond wasn't any good, 517-903. So, yeah, I guess he was stable, but he stunk. So Kellen Mond wasn't an answer for you at quarterback, A&M fans that are texting.
I watched him beat us at LSU in a 7 overtime game.
Awesome.
One time.
I mean, that was probably his best game that he ever played.
It crazy how good he was that day.
But, yeah, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be magical.
The thing with the Texas A&M and Texas game at being on November 30th, that could have ramifications in the SEC West. So, Oklahoma is at LSU that day. There are going to be some games being played, but depending on how, and Texas could be in a situation where they're rolling right along them. Alabama, I mean, I'm sure you got the Iron Bowl coming up around the same time. Mm-hmm. So that final weekend of the SEC schedule could very well determine who could be a playoff team or who could be going to Atlanta in the SEC championship game.
Okay, speaking of playoffs, expanded playoff, an opportunity here, and that's a big storyline no matter what conference you're in. How many of the 8 teams will be the SEC, Brian, if you had to pick right now?
Wow.
That's a great question.
It kind of makes me feel like that. We always seem like in the College World Series, there's always an SEC team playing.
Yeah.
But you have to believe what? Alabama, Georgia, Texas. Help me, Wolchuk, with some of these.
Alabama, Georgia, Texas. Tennessee's coming into the season highly ranked. Mizzou is going to be good this year.
LSU is having to replace a quarterback there, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
But LSU seems like they're always knocking on the door for that. I know you don't want to mention them.
Well, I don't want to mention them because I don't know how good defensively they're going to be.
I think you've got to – I think 4. I think 4 out of the 12 are going to come.
So 4 conference winners and then 4 SEC teams.
Yeah, I think you could be looking at that.
Okay.
Minimum of 3.
Could be beating each other though too.
They could be
and knocking them out. Yeah.
Okay. And then speaking of that, replacing a legend, what do you think of Kalen DeBoer there at Alabama? Is he going to be able to maintain the greatness that Saban established?
Year one, I'm going to say yes. I think they're one of the only returning conference champions that has their quarterback coming back.
Milroe is. And people have talked about when we were doing our quarterback segment earlier about guys you might like. He's one of the guys everybody's talking about you need to evaluate. I've seen enough of him playing. I don't think he throws the ball well enough.
He took a big step last year because I said the same thing.
He
got better, though.
But you watch him play and that they were lucky to win the Auburn game.
But he made his best damn throw of the season when he needed it most.
But there are times where he's more interested in running with
the
football.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a little bit of a and I say a down year for Alabama, I'm thinking they're going to win 9 games. I don't think they're going to be this, you know, this 11 or 12 win team this year. I think they're going to be some games that Nick Saban clearly has his team up and ready to play, and I don't know if Alabama, at least in the first year with a new coach, will be that way.
Football's so close. It's right around the corner, and we'll continue to cover SEC, Big 12, whatever comes down the pike for you here on DFW Sports Station. Now, when we come back, it is a course of Friday, so we got what you drinking, what you thinking here coming up in about 30 minutes. Eric Nadel is going to join us for our Friday conversation with him. But Wolchuk has, in addition to the finest, what you got, buddy?
Yeah, the best big game coaches, a great Reggie Bush story about Vince Young, and how do you feel about George Kittle, Cowboy fans? That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. Gentlemen, I have prepared for you the 5 top storylines to watch at SEC Media Day. I will give you the storyline. Perhaps I'll give you a couple of questions to ponder about it. Number one, the welcome for Texas and OU. At the end of last year, now, if you count the Longhorns and Sooners, 7 of the top 13 teams that made the final rankings were in the SEC. So it's rare that you get an off week. Can the Sooners and Longhorns handle the gauntlet of these schedules? OU will host Tennessee and Bama and go to Ole Miss, Missouri, and LSU. All of those will be in the preseason top 25. UT is not quite as packed with heavyweights, writes the Morning News, but they still welcome Georgia to Austin. They'll head to A&M to renew its rivalry with the Aggies, and they will also visit Michigan, the defending national champion, so they have a hell of a schedule as well, Brian. What are your expectations for those two programs?
I'll tell you what, though. The SEC, you just never know, but he's like, team like Arkansas started off so well last year. Then all of a sudden they, you know, you make a trip to Georgia, then to Alabama, then to LSU. And the next thing you know, they're talking about firing their coach. So I think Texas is probably better equipped to handle with that. Even though they had massive losses with their roster, though, it's still one of the best skill groups in the country. And we talked about their quarterback a bunch. I give them a, you know, Michigan is a team, being the national champion, might be a little bit of like catching them early before they kind of figure some things out. So I like Texas's chances. I think that the fact that Oklahoma has Georgia at home, I think is a big help there. It's never easy to go to Sanford Stadium and have to play that bunch there. So, but they make a trip to Baton Rouge to end the SEC schedule. But I think Texas will probably have the better of the records when it's all said and done.
What do you think about this, Wolchuk? Is one of these two teams going to represent this footprint here in the old Southwest Conference well over there, or are they just going to mix in as, you know, other pretty good teams in a great conference?
And I think Texas has a good shot to make some noise this year, more so than Oklahoma does. And I think Oklahoma can be an 8-9 win team. I believe in Jackson Arnold, who's from Denton Guyer here, was a really, really high recruit, so he's going into year 2 there at Oklahoma. But Texas did a good job at the transfer portal, getting guys like Isaiah Bolden. They lost a lot when it came to weaponry on offense, graduating some receivers and tight ends. They added some speed with an Oregon State receiver who's coming over there as well. I think Jonte Cook from DeSoto is about to become a household name. That dude is an absolute stud. So they're really good in the trenches for Texas. That can carry over to the SEC. Like, their offensive line is something that's been built up. They've got a left tackle that'll be a top 10 pick, and Kelvin Banks Jr. coming up in the upcoming NFL draft. So I think Texas has a chance. But I do think, like, for Oklahoma, who's winning 10 games a year, it seems like, and is always up there to win the conference, they're probably going to have to change a little bit when it comes to expectations. I don't think that's going to continue.
Storyline number 2, Mike Elko era beginning in Aggieland. Obviously, had tremendous amount of success at Duke, where it's hard to have success, 16-9 in 2 seasons there. What's Mike Elko going to do for the Aggies?
Well, I tell you what, there's so many questions about with Jimbo Fisher and that program, and, you know, they recruit very, very well. The NIL money is very prevalent there, as you know, with the program, but they've also found ways, though, to, you know, give away games during the year. Mike Elko was a defensive coordinator at Texas A&M. He went to go take the Duke job, so he very much understands the expectations of Aggie football. And you know, it's for Texas A&M, it's going to be about, you know, how do you find a way to have some more consistency at quarterback? It seems like that was just a situation where they were in last year, where they were just every week, it seemed like they had a different quarterback playing. The injuries were just such a bad part of what they were dealing with last year. But if they can get the consistency at quarterback, they've got a lot of talented, a lot of skilled players, a lot of really good defensive players. You know, Elko can do some good things there as well.
I guess it's all about the quarterback, right? Can their quarterback stay healthy in Connor Wegman?
And
if he does, and they have not had health at that
position.
They have not,
yeah. It's been a problem.
And if
when's the last time they had a year-to-year answer at quarterback?
Honestly, I think it was Manziel.
Wow.
I don't think that they've had any type of stability since then, quite at that level.
They've had quarterbacks go in there and with the expectations of, you know, being that guy, and then end up transferring him out.
And heck, Kyler Murray was one.
Kyler Murray was that. I mean,
Kyle Allen.
Yeah. The kid now at Georgia Tech, the kid that
was Haynes King. Haynes from King. Longview.
Yeah. I mean, they've always been able to recruit and get quarterbacks to show up. You know, Brad Johnson's kids over there. Mm-hmm. And he played well for a couple games and then got hurt. So, I mean, it's been a problem for them. If they can get some stability there, as I say, they've got the skill players to be able to handle it.
Okay, speaking of A&M, the UT-A&M rivalry is back on for the final weekend of the season. The Aggies fought to keep the Longhorns out to no avail. How important is it to get this game back, and will it live up to the hype of what it used to be?
I can't wait. I think absolutely. That is going to be a magical, magical day when we get to see Texas and A&M back on the football field together. I think it's amazing, not only for Texas football, but it's one of the best rivalries in the entire country, and we've been robbed and deprived of it. And I think that it's awesome that, there's been a lot of politics as to why this hasn't happened, and Texas fans will blame A&M for it, and vice versa, the other way around, and I'm sure both schools are at fault. But and Kellen Mond wasn't any good, 517-903. So, yeah, I guess he was stable, but he stunk. So Kellen Mond wasn't an answer for you at quarterback, A&M fans that are texting.
I watched him beat us at LSU in a 7 overtime game.
Awesome.
One time.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably his best game that he ever played.
They crazy how good he was that day.
But, yeah, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be magical.
The thing with the Texas A&M and Texas game at being on November 30th, that could have ramifications in the SEC West. So, Oklahoma is at LSU that day. There are going to be some games being played, but depending on how, you know, and Texas could be in a situation where they're rolling right along them. Alabama, I mean, I'm sure you got the Iron Bowl coming up around the same time. Mm-hmm. So that final weekend of the SEC schedule could very well determine who could be a playoff team or who could be going to Atlanta in the SEC championship game.
Okay, speaking of playoffs, expanded playoff, an opportunity here, and that's a big storyline no matter what conference you're in. How many of the 8 teams will be the SEC, Brian, if you had to pick right now?
Wow.
That's a great question.
It kind of makes me feel like that. We always seem like in the College World Series, there's always an SEC team playing.
Yeah.
But you have to believe what? Alabama, Georgia, Texas. Help me, Wolchuk, with some of these.
Alabama, Georgia, Texas. Tennessee's coming into the season highly ranked. Mizzou is going to be good this year.
LSU is having to replace, a quarterback there, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
But LSU seems like they're always knocking on the door for that. I know you don't want to mention them.
Well, I don't want to mention them because I don't know how good defensively they're going to be.
I think you've got to – I think four. I think 4 out of the 12 are going to come.
So
out of
four
the
conference winners and then 4 SEC teams.
Yeah, I think you could be looking at that.
Okay.
Minimum of 3.
They could be beating each other though too.
They could be
and knocking them out. Yeah.
Okay. And then speaking of that, replacing a legend, what do you think of Kalen DeBoer there at Alabama? Is he going to be able to maintain the greatness that Saban established?
Year one, I'm going to say yes. I think they're one of the only returning conference champions that has their quarterback coming back.
Milroe is. And people have talked about when we were doing our quarterback segment earlier about guys you might like. He's one of the guys everybody's talking about you need to evaluate. I've seen enough of him playing. I don't think he throws the ball well enough.
He took a big step last year because I said the same thing.
He
got better, though.
But you watch him play and some of the, I mean, yeah, that they were lucky to win the Auburn game.
But he made a great throw to win his best damn throw of the season when he needed it most.
But there are times where he's more interested in running with the football.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a little bit of a, and I say a down year for Alabama. I'm thinking they're going to win 9 games. I don't think they're going to be this, you know, this 11 or 12 win team this year. I think they're going to be some games that Nick Saban clearly has his team up and ready to play. And I don't know if Alabama, at least in the first year with a new coach, will be that way.
Football's so close. It's right around the corner, and we'll continue to cover SEC, Big 12, whatever comes down the pike for you here on DFW Sports Station. Now, when we come back, it is, of course, a Friday, so we got what you drinking, what you thinking here coming up in about 30 minutes. Eric Nadel is going to join us for our Friday conversation with him. But Wolchuk has, in addition to the finest, what you got, buddy?
Yeah, the best big game coaches, a great Reggie Bush story about Vince Young, and how do you feel about George Kittle, Cowboy fans? That's next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.